Welcome to the first ever episode of The Collective Podcast, a podcast of genuine conversation with genuine people. I am your host, Denang of Statues Collective, and today's guest is my wife, Crystal.
Hi.
The reason why I brought my wife on today is actually for the topic of freedom. Freedom goes a long way, but my wife and I, we've been together for 6 years now, but we lived together for about 4 years. And within those 4 years, it was a very big change for the both of us dynamically because we both live opposite lives. I come from a family that I could say was proper towards what I think and what most people would think is proper.
I don't think, well, it's not that it's not proper. I think the better word would be like it's more structured.
Yeah.
It's structured in like the way you guys grew up and even your parents' dynamic too.
Yeah. And when I speak about her family, I'm not saying that her family isn't proper. I'm just saying it's like how she said was there's not much structure. When I first went and lived with her, it was out of because of a necessary situation that had happened, and I moved in to assist the family. When I first moved in, it was just the small things that I realized first was my family and I, we had family dinners almost every night, and it was like a necessity because of how my mom and my dad both were. But when I moved in with Crystal, that was a whole change for me because everyone was having dinner whenever they wanted to. And it was kind of just like, cook dinner here, eat when you want. Or you go to school, you do your own thing, come home, you do your own thing. With me, I had conversations with my parents when we sat down and we ate or we just sat in the living room and watched TV. I would have conversations. And that dynamic was extremely different to me. But maybe, I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago, we moved out into our own place. And it's been very different to say because watching kind of like how you grew within the last 3 to 4 months has been extremely, extremely, extremely progressive. You come from a family where it's very strict rules, very strict attitudes towards certain things. But now that I see it, it's kind of just, you get to do your own thing. You get to see what the freedom to feel and to kind of fail at certain things too. How would you put it?
I guess now, like living on my own, it's really different. I get to really eat whenever I want and as much as I want, do whatever I want. I have the freedom to, and as weird as it is, to be able to walk in my house comfortably and freely and just not be on eggshells. Whatever I want to do, I can do it. There's nothing that really stops me or, you know, is getting in the way of that.
Now that like freedom is a thing that you've kind of seen now and you actually see that what freedom really is, has it changed you now more than it has before?
I mean, I don't feel different. I guess it does. In a sense, because now I get to really think about what I want to pursue later on with my life. I get to really decide everything, every little thing of my life for myself rather than have someone else tell me what I should do.
And the thing is, like for me, I grew up with a lot of that freedom to kind of pick and choose what I wanted to do with my life and kind of pursue what I wanted regarding my career, regarding how I wanted to move in my life. And because I got that freedom, I screwed up a lot in the beginning as well. I didn't just get here without screwing up. Like I screwed up a lot. I went into debt. I did a lot of stupid shit that normal teens do. But I know for you, like living with you, you never got those chances to do that. Like every time you did do something or you did fail, your mom is on your ass. And she was, it was always like a scream fest of you did this wrong and you did that wrong. Now being able to fail without being scrutinized for that failure, is it a feeling that actually makes you feel better?
Yes and no. No, because I guess no one ever wants to fail. No one ever wants to feel like they're failing. But yes, because I know that I failed because I made the decisions that led me to fail. Thinking back, like it's very helpful in like in general, just everyone's journey. When you make a mistake, it's a lesson to be learned. So making mistakes on my own now made me realize what kind of a person that I am and what kind of a decision maker I am also.
And, you know, like for the people listening, I'm not saying fail as in like failure at life. I'm more so just saying like it's the simple things of now that she gets to decide what she wants to do with her life instead of being told what to do and going to school because her mom wants her to do things. It's more so the failure of like, oh, now you get to pick and you don't know what to do. So it's trial and error at this point until you figure out what you want to do. That's more so what I'm talking about. As a child who was given options in my life to do and pursue what I wanted, freedom was something that I never took for granted. I worked throughout college and high school. And even during college, it was still a time for me to go through like failure. It was a time for me to figure out what I wanted to do. I went to school for television broadcasting, but it wasn't something I wanted to do. It was more so because the options that I had at that time and financially, I wasn't able to go to the schools that I really wanted to. I had a scholarship to go to the Vancouver Film School and I couldn't, but that never stopped me because during the times that everyone was doing projects about, you know, news reporting, I was doing projects about music videos and I was doing projects movie-based and action-based. Hearing that, because I know that you and I, we talk a lot about stuff like that, but hearing that, does it help or does it just, it makes you more lost? Well, like, I'd love to know what, like, your perspective on certain things like that is.
I guess, like, it makes me feel more lost because like I know not only just Asians can relate to this, pretty much everybody can relate to this as an immigrant. Like when your parents come here to Canada, it's a land of opportunities. So it's almost like they demand the excellence from you, you know, doing the best you can, you know, like even going beyond that. Sometimes it's not within your capabilities to do so, but it's like expected of you. And so being able to, you know, be on my own, it's hard because, you know, you pretty much have gone to school, you have a job, you have a career, you kind of know what you want to do with your life. But with me, I don't. And it's not easy. Because it's like living in a shadow where like I have to make sure that I'm up to the same level as you are in regards to like my life, you know, like my job, you know, and then not only that too, like one day become like a parent too. There's so much more than that. So it's not easy.
Oh, and I get that, you know, like I hear our conversations a lot, you know, when we have conversations, we talk about certain things. I feel there's an immense amount of pressure on you to achieve a certain thing by a certain time in your life because maybe there are people like myself that are in your life that, are, oh, I have this and I have this. And now you're being compared constantly. But, you know, now that you're away from people that, you're kind of away from that jail cell. You know, you have the freedom to think. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. Doesn't it at least reassure you that at least now you'll feel like you'll get somewhere?
Yeah, I guess like, you know, like living on my own always comes back to that because living on my own has taught me a lot. I know that I'm going to be able to get somewhere like confidently knowing that I'm going to have people to help guide me if I needed to, because living with my mom, you know, like I didn't want to go to business school. I didn't want to become a doctor. So, but when you live with them, you kind of have to just go with it. But then in the end, I had lost so much of myself too in the process, you know, so much like what people say, like time. And I don't know, like it's hard to just put it into words sometimes, you know, but I know that because I'm not under that pressure, I'm going to be able to just take my own time, you know, to really figure out my journey.
Yeah, I totally understand that, just because living with your mom, I used to be a very confident and I used to be a very extrovert kind of a person. But living with your mom for the last 4 years, like I can see that my the extrovert part of me, it's gone and I've become an introvert. The confidence that I used to have is gone. And like even now I question a lot of what I'm doing and if what I'm going to be doing or what I am doing is the right choices. You know, when we were living with your mom, it was a lot of the toxic behavior that was being tossed around, I think, that affected us in the long run. Mm-hmm. It was 4 years, but those 4 years seemed so long. Those 4 years seemed like it took forever to pass. And even when we decided to leave, you know, even now we're only starting to pick up our lives again where it was left off 4 years ago.
No, I get that. It's hard because I feel like we've lost so much time that we could have used to be living for ourselves, you know, where like we're living for us now, but it's so hard because you're older than I am, you know, there is an age difference between us. I'm in my early 20s and you're in your late 20s. So where you want to be is already like, I guess, like in the direction of having a family. Not that I don't want either, but it's like because of that age difference also is that like, wow, we've lost so much time. So how do I say this? That like, it's like easy.
You know, I think it's exactly like how you said it, you know, like age played a big role in everything that we had gone through, because there was a lot of things that your mom tossed around that as maybe someone that was older, I did understand some of those points and I could agree to some of those points. But as someone that was younger, I could see why you always fought with your mom. And it was something that like I couldn't be involved in because neither you or your mom was right or wrong. And at that time, it's like I couldn't do much to assist. Because as someone that is older, you know, like I'm turning 28 this year. So I've had a jumpstart on my life. I've had a jumpstart on my career. I started my career when I was, I think I started when I was like 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. And it's been go, go, go since then.
Yeah.
I've had failed businesses over and over. And I've had the time to kind of pick myself up, take the time to understand what happened, and then push on, keep going, and get to a point where I am now. But with you, you've lost so much time. Number one, it's like you've lost so much time because the relationship, it grew more mature than you could grow with it. You know, like you were still young. So understanding certain things that I had to go through forced you to mature. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't help that the things that you went through at home forced you to grow up even more, to mature even faster than you were. You know, you couldn't even be a kid. Mm-hmm. You couldn't enjoy your time as a kid. Half that time was you being a mom to your sister. And then when your little sister was born, being her mom and dedicating all your time and energy to that. And that took a lot of energy out of the both of us because we had to do our part. Mm-hmm. So for those that think, you know, like age is just a number, I kind of just want to say like,
It's not,
especially for, maybe it's for other people out there too, but especially for Asians, because I am the eldest son in my family. So there is a lot that my mom and my dad have on my shoulders. You know, and my family, we are very family oriented.
Yeah.
We are like my cousins and I, we are brothers and sisters. Like we are like a ride and die kind of family.
Yeah.
So she had to understand that and grow with me because as the relationship got more mature, we then knew that, oh, this relationship is serious. And if it's as serious as it is, then you need to kind of just understand what my family is like so that you grow to understand and become, you know, accepted.
Yeah.
Because my family, you know, like, they have old school teachings, and those old school teachings are very hard for outsiders to understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that. No, your family's very family, like, family oriented. You know, like, everything they do together. Every time, like, if there's a party, if one eats, everybody eats. Like, no one gets left behind. You know, and that's something that I had to learn, not per se the hard way, but I had to learn, like, the long way. Like, that's, like, the best way to describe it is that, like, also to put, like, you know, more context, you know, like, in, like, also the age and the family thing is that, like, when we, like, first got together, I was in high school, you know, you just graduated from college. And so that in itself is already like an age gap, you know, going to high school, trying to figure out what you want to do. Because in high school, you know, they tell you, okay, you have to know what you want to do, because this is, they almost make it seem like this is what you're going to commit the rest of your life to, you know, this, just this one job, you know. But you had already had your company, you know, you have your job, you have things going on. And then, you know, after high school, I went into post-secondary, you know, but then you are still living life, you know, you're still doing your company, you know, but I'm still trying to navigate through the whole self journey. But then along the way, having to learn that, like, I didn't have to do this alone, you know, that there was family, that there were people that I could depend on outside of just my mom and, you know, to talk to, you know. But as someone who didn't have family, going into, or not going into, but meeting and then going into a family that is very family oriented, it's like day and night. Because it's like I said, when there's a problem, everybody's involved because they want to help. They always want to help make it better. You know, they never want anybody to be left behind.
No, and you know, like, that's the thing that I started to realize was, like, you and I, we lived the same life, just on opposite spectrums of the, kind of like opposite ends, you know? It was like, your mom and my mom, they both came from the same kind of background. Your dad and my dad, they both came from the same kind of background. And I feel like if they had met, they would have been real good friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, like, met earlier on, because I guess, like, it would have helped everybody too, you know? But I guess it's how you learn along the way, you know? Although I think that's why we're so different, and that's why we argue so much, but we get along too at the same time, is because we have two different sets of perspectives, you know, growing up. So we're able to take the good, the bad from both, and then I guess, like, implement that for ourselves.
Yeah. It's something I think that there are a lot of people going through exactly what you're going through, you know, defining that whole word freedom right now, you know, now that you're in your, I think you're like 22. So you're 22 and only now are you actually just starting to define that word freedom.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I've had that word defined since I was in high school, deciding what I wanted to do when I wanted to go to college, and from college, what I wanted to do afterwards. You know, so for me, freedom has been defined for years and years. But for you, it's only a word that is being defined now.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of listeners and a lot of people that are affected by the same things that you have gone through. So if it's if there is something that you could give them, like a word of advice or something that you could say to them to make them believe that what they're going through, there is still hope. You know, because that's one of those things that you and I, we lost closer to that end.
Yeah, yeah.
What is something that you would say to those people that are going through what you went through and what you're going through right now? What is something that you would say to them?
I guess the best, I wouldn't say this would be the best thing. I guess the only thing, like, because this is almost like, oh, if I could talk to my past self to make sure that I didn't lose so much of myself, to lose hope, like, what would it be? I guess the best thing, or like I said, not the best, I would just tell them that it doesn't end there. You know, it might seem like you're being pushed into the corner. Sometimes it feels like there's no one you can turn to, you know, nowhere you can run. It, in like 2-3 years, you know, when maybe you've left home, or, you know, decided you're going to move out, or, you know, whatever it is, thinking back is going to be like, it's going to be so silly, you know, because how do I say this? Like, just never give up. Don't feel like you're pressured to follow in your parents' footsteps, because your life is your own. You know, you have told me that, you know, my teachers have told me that, you know, your parents have told me that, you know, everybody has told me, you know, that is like the most solid advice too, that I should have taken like from the beginning, was that I didn't have to listen to my mom, you know, and that I shouldn't have. No matter how much you love your parents, you know, your life is your own. At the end of the day, you know, you live for yourself. You don't live for anybody else.
And as someone who had kind of just witnessed everything that she had gone through and gone through during the years, sometimes as people speaking to them, saying never give up is so cliche sometimes, you know, like hearing it, it's like, okay, whatever. It's something that everyone would say. Mm-hmm. But what I'm talking about, never give up, and give up is, in context, is kind of just like, I'm not talking about giving up on your life. I'm talking about giving up on just a moment, whether it be that moment at that point that you're going through of walking past your mom. Never give up on that moment, walking past your mom, mm-hmm. or saying what needs to be said sometimes. Never give up on that, because I feel like those are the most important parts. Mm-hmm. Those are the most important moments of that whole entire phrase, never give up. Because you could keep telling people, you know, never give up, never give up. Mm-hmm. It's so cliche.
Yeah.
But what I think some people need to understand is, don't give up on a moment at that time, because if you do, you lose the battle.
Yeah, yeah.
In that moment, you know? In that moment, I think that's one of the hardest things to do, is when you give up on yourself at that point, it's like you're drained, you're tired, you're exhausted. You want to just sit and cry and kind of like break down. But don't give up, because sometimes what you have to say is relevant too. Understand when you're wrong and understand when you're right.
Yeah.
Understand what the situation is. And not based off what the emotion that you're going through is. Mm-hmm. That's something that's some advice that I would give to people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think now that we have our own place and we're kind of set out on this own, our own adventure. We're set out on our own adventure, kind of doing the best that we can with what we have. I think freedom can be defined for you. I think it's just right now you need to go through what you need to go through, see what you need to see, do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And eventually that word freedom, it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll have a definitive definition for it.
Yeah. I guess like right now it doesn't feel, it's freedom, but yeah, I still feel like I'm not truly free. And like right now, sometimes I feel like I'll never feel free. I'll never be able to truly feel freedom. But I mean, that could change in like, you know, a week, a month, you know, even a year from now. But it feels like no matter how far I try to go the opposite direction, my past and like the things that have happened keep following me along the way, that I don't really feel free. It's like trying to break from those chains that are holding you down.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something that listeners need to kind of hear, is that even when you're free, sometimes you won't feel free. it's a work in progress. It takes a long time to feel what free is like. Even living with them for the 4 years, I felt trapped. It was to a point where I grew such bad anxiety and depression that, you know, I wasn't even making proper decisions anymore. But now that we live on our own and we're closer to my parents, who are extremely supportive, and you know, we see them almost every night. Mm-hmm. Being around people like that has changed both our mentalities and changed both our mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, we're both much happier. I'm not going to say we're the happiest, because there are days where we wake up and it's just like, it's going to be one of those days.
Feels miserable almost sometimes.
Like, we already know that day is going to be miserable. But we still push through it, and we still try to enjoy what we can, because those miserable days, I will take those over having felt what we felt for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. In like the last year before like us moving out was, I guess, like the roughest for us. I personally never want to feel that again, because sometimes, actually not sometimes, all the time, you know, during that time, sometimes I would dread being in the car, you know, like going to school, even for like that short, you know, 5 to 10 minute drive. It felt so long and it felt so miserable sometimes that I just never want to go back there ever again.
It's exhausting. It's honestly such an exhausting feeling to feel that. Because mm-hmm. we felt that for 4 years. It was a very hard 4 years. But it's also a very definitive point in our relationship where it was kind of like, it was because of all that, that I knew that I loved you and that we were going to stay together. It was like, no matter how much we both went through, we were still there beside each other, trying to deal with everything. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's what came out of that was our little happy ending. Was after we moved out, we got married. We're starting to enjoy life a lot more. We're starting to see a little of the brighter side that everyone talks about.
We're starting to really just like understand and enjoy what our life is for, you know, not just for like ourselves individually, you know? So it feels nice that after it being so rough for 4 years and it only intensifying in like the last year, that we're finally able to experience, it's like you said, what people call life, you know, like living and enjoying the quiet times, enjoying the rowdy times, that it almost seems like those 4 years was just like a really long journey to just get us to this moment where like we could finally sit down and just breathe sometimes.
Yeah. You know, and those 4 years, it had a lot. There were a lot of components within those 4 years that became a part of our misery, but also became a part of the reason why we are probably the people that we are today. And we'll put that aside for another podcast episode later. But like, as of right now, you know, like the person that I am is so different from the person that I was. And I think that's what I'm happiest about with myself, is that I am no longer that confident, cocky person. I am no longer that, you know, extrovert.
But then would you say like it makes you sad that you're not that anymore, that like you've lost that part of your life? Because when I first met you, you were exactly that. You were this confident, you know, like cocky person, you know, like that you, when I looked at you, it looked like you felt like you could take on whatever it is that, you know, the world had to give to you. But wouldn't you say that it makes you sad too, that you've lost that part of your life? Like, or not that part, but like you've lost the confidence, because that confidence was very big.
There are moments where, yes, I do miss it. You know, like when I felt that confidence, that's why I started rapping, was I had the confidence to be able to write everything I wanted to and say what I wanted to without people hurting me, because I was just that confident. When I was confident, I was able to walk up to random strangers and be like, hey, I own this company. Would you like to join me? Yo, that's how confident I was. That at one point, I had almost 30 kids working under our company. And it was the happiest moment of my time. So I'm not going to say I don't miss it. I do. There are days where I miss being that really confident guy. But because I'm not that confident guy, I've also learned how to become more humble. And I learned a lot from just being able to sit back and watch other people instead of having people watch me. Because when I was that confident guy, it got me into a lot of trouble. That's for sure. Like, that's why your mom didn't like me in the beginning, was because of how confident I was. You know, I walked, like, when her mom first met me, I think I had blonde hair, or like I had a streak of.
You had platinum.
Yeah.
Blonde hair. It wasn't even platinum. It was this yellow hair with this purple streak. She met you for the first time and she said, are you sure? She looked at me and she said, are you sure? I was like, yep. She did not like it. I guess that's what made, I think that's what gave her like the wrong impression of who you were. And it's not like she was partially wrong.
No, she wasn't wrong to feel that way, because I was kind of that kid. I was the kid that she thought I was. But it was when I started to lose a lot of that confidence and I started to lose a lot of who I was that I became a lot more in what other people would call it, like almost like a dad. I was like, oh, you know, even with your sister, it was like, oh, please be careful when you go out. Oh, where are you going to go? Oh, okay. Make sure you're home by this time. What do you want for dinner?
I mean, you still do that like to like your brother too, who's like 25 years old. So you really took on that persona of being a dad.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing is like, once I took on that role and that persona, it was so hard to get out of it because it felt amazing. It felt amazing to be someone's rock. You know, it was like, no matter what, I knew that she was going to be safe because I was going to be there. I think that's the difference, is like that dad confidence compared to a cocky teenager's confidence, you know? Like, I wasn't that cocky teenager anymore. I had to be a dad. I had to be someone that a little girl could depend on.
It was, you know, like that dad persona at the end of the day, I feel like
it changed.
It shaped you into who you are now, that like, it was not only just, you know, like my middle sister, it was also when, you know, my baby sister came along too, that like more than ever, you know, that dad persona really came through. And like for a while too, you know, like she called you dad.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how much, you know, like that came through. But like it, as much as it is like, you know, like it's changed too, you know, she now calls you, you know, big brother. But I feel like, and I've always said it too, that no matter what, she'll always see you as a dad, because you've loved her like a dad, you know, you've cared for her like a dad. You've done everything that I feel like that a dad should do, and kind of who a dad should be, that it's changed you for, I guess, the better too. Like I like how caring you are now, you know, than you were back then, you know, like, although, you know, I complain about how, you know, you're so, you know, mean and all that, but like, I like seeing this side that I guess like being a dad has become, you know. I like this other side of you more than I do, you know, before.
And like this whole dad side of me, you know, like once your baby sister was in the picture, it was like a whole flip. It was like, okay, her dad was barely there and your mom, she needed that help. She really needed that help. And so I was already there. So it was kind of just like, it was kind of like a natural transition, you know, from, okay, I guess, you know, at this point, I'll just do what I have to do to assist them again. And when baby Anna came into the picture, it was like, okay, dad mode on, you know, like dad mode all the way. I'd come home from work and there I was playing with her. Or, you know, I wake up early in the morning because I hear her cry and I'd like cradle her. You know, I'd rock her.
You would be the first person to wake up and you would also be the last person to sleep because, you know, like during her newborn stage was very hard for not only my mom, you know, who's the one who gave birth to her, but for us too, because we were, it's like you said earlier that we were like her mom and dad, you know, we've taken on that role and we have, you know, like when she couldn't sleep at like 10 or 11, you know, the both of us would be up, you know, taking turns trying to put her to sleep, you know, but she was an early riser, you know, the minute she learned how to start walking, you know, she'd wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, 6, and she'd come and she'd try to, you know, knock on the door and get you up to play with her.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, you know, like for everyone that's listening, if you think 10 or 11 is early, when you become a parent, 10 or 11 is like way past your bedtime, okay? You want as much sleep as you can get. But with Anna, it was like the hardest thing to do was get sleep.
That's because she was a baby that required you to constantly move her. That's mm-hmm. the only way she could sleep.
It was the only way. You had to either rock her in a hammock or she wanted to play until she was tired. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just like simple like playing. It was like chasing her around the house or reading to her or, you know, the most simple things that a child needs. And I think those personally for me were the best moments of my life, was being able to be a dad for her when she needed one and her dad wasn't there. Being able to, the happiest moment was when she first called me dad. I was struck with like this feeling of, wow, I did that. I made her feel like I was her dad. I think that was the most memorable part for me. I went from being a really cocky teenager who felt invincible against anyone that I was up. It didn't matter who I was up. If I wanted a job, I would email the person and I'd be like, hey, I can do this for you. What do you think? Great. I will be there by tomorrow. You know? Mm-hmm. But I went from that to, okay, wake up at 6 in the morning. We need to buy her diapers. We need to go get her more milk. We got to go, you know, get this done for your mom. We got to get this done for your sister. Come back home, play with Anna until she napped. When she napped, we could nap. When she woke up, we had to wake up. You know, we got to go make food for her. We got to do this. Those are the best moments, though. Those were my most enjoyable moments throughout the hardship that we were already going through at that time.
I think she came within the first year of you living with us, actually.
Yeah.
It was my first year of college, and it was also the first year that you had moved in with us. That was when she came along. And then, you know, like, I feel like this journey, though, through the 4 years, although it was tough, you know, she made it easier. But then it made me see this other side of you, but it was also another side of me that I didn't realize that, you know, that was even possible. Mm-hmm. You know, like I saw so much of myself of how, like, oh, how I would be as a parent, how we would be as parents, you know? I guess that the moment, the defining moment of when I realized I really wanted to be with you was when she had, you know, gotten her shots and she came home and she was super sick. She had a fever, she started crying, and all she wanted to do was just someone to hug her. And the entire time you held her, you know, you held her while doing work. You never complained once, mm-hmm. but you held her and, you know, and you put her to sleep, you know, and you loved her so much. That's when I realized, you know, like that was like the defining moment of like, wow, if this is how he's like as a dad, but how he's like for my sister, I can only just imagine what it would be like with his own kids with our own kids,
mm-hmm.
you know? So having her around made us realize a lot about who we are.
Yeah, you know, and we grew a lot, you know? And that's why I always say to people is, don't judge someone for who they were, because who they are now is someone totally different.
Mm-hmm.
That change happened only within 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a drastic change. It was super, super drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even for my parents, you know, and I hear this from my parents and from my sister and brother all the time. Oh, you used to be a dick. 100%. I'm not even going to shut that down.
Yeah.
But who I became afterwards, you know, like even now my mom, my dad are so proud. Mm-hmm. My sister and my brother, like they look at me like, you know, I'm a whole different person. I can proudly say that I am a different person. The way I go about business and the way I go about life now, it's more so treaded carefully now.
Mm-hmm.
Treaded very humbly now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I because of my experience of being a dad to a teenager and being a dad to an infant,
mm-hmm.
it's helped me realize a lot of things as a person in my late 20s, so that one day when I do have a kid of my own, I can't be a certain way. I can't be like these Asian parents that come from, you know, immigrant countries.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be understanding of the times. I have to be understanding of people that maybe sometimes they can't communicate to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've come to realize a lot. And I've cherished those moments.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've said, you know, like your mom and I, we didn't get along because we both had different viewpoints on parenting.
It's not only just parenting, on life.
On life. You know, like I always, always, always reflected everything I did against what my parents had taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And what my parents taught me was a lot of, it's not about the money, but it's about being the happiest that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
But with your mom, it was always about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about getting the best paid job,
mm-hmm.
and living every day to pay those bills. I tried to teach your sister that, and I tried to teach you that as well. And now I think it's one of those things that I start to realize now what my parents tried to say to me when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of look back and are like, oh shit, you know, like our parents were right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What my parents had to say, I was a dumb kid for not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm 27, turning 28, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I get it. And I have to be better and I have to do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we'll stop today's podcast there. It was been a pretty good conversation about pretty much everything that was said. I want to thank my guest, my wife, Crystal, for being my first guest. Keep listening and maybe a second episode will come out. All right. Thank you. Bye.